If you see a shark, whale, or large fish gliding through the open ocean, you may see some extra passengers stuck to its flanks. The live shark sucker is a remora, a fish that freeloads off of other, bigger animals. But why grab an oceanic Uber when your fins work just fine? Well, grab your towel, because you gotta abide by the Hitchhiker's Guide to the Ocean to survive here in life, death, and taxonomy.
Welcome back to Life, Death, and Taxonomy, your 30 minutes of interesting animal information. I'm Joe.
And I'm Carlos.
Thank you to Cassie for the creation of our theme song. To hear more of Cassie's music, please search Cassie Michelle on YouTube or Spotify.
And thank you to Johanna for the creation of this week's artwork. To check that out, you can visit us at our home on the web at ldtaxonomy.com. And a very special thank you to our patrons, to Jesse Raspolich, Carol Raspolich, Richard Gaspar, Lottie and Aubrey, Gray Hughes, and Wednesday Rabbit. Thank you so much for your support. It's greatly appreciated. Thanks for helping us keep the lights on.
And today we're talking about a sucker who will latch onto anything and just go with it. But more on that later.
Yep, it's the guest you just can't get rid of. Like a bat.
Yeah. Like a bat.
I've never had a bat fly into my house. I feel like it would be alarming, but not the worst thing ever. Some people are really afraid of bats. I'd rather have a bat in the house than a snake.
Yeah, they build their entire career off of it when their parents die.
Yeah. Sometimes you're afraid of bats, and that's just you just really lean into that with all your ninja skills. It pairs nicely with ninja skills, is what I'm saying. A fear of bats. Yeah. What are we talking about? Not bats.
We're talking about the live shark sucker. The weirdest name.
No, it's not weird. It makes 100% sense. 100%. That's
like,
a thing that
why?
People say. 100% sense.
Like, why the live part?
That's a good question. The live is weird, but the rest of it makes perfect sense to me.
Are human beings that ride horses live horse sitters? I don't want you to think I'm sitting on a dead horse.
That would be weird. Live horse is totally fine.
The only thing worse than sitting on a dead horse is betting on one.
Or beating one. Maybe they're saying that the shark sucker is live. Maybe not just the shark, but this one, this animal is alive.
Live, Las Vegas.
Yeah, it's not recorded, an unrecorded fish. Yeah, the live shark sucker. It's also known as the slender shark sucker. Man, this is she sells seashells at the seashore. It's also known as the whale sucker. So, it's got a lot of pseudonyms there. But we're going to call it here the Barnacle Buddy, the Velcro Vagabond, and Free Loading Willie. That is the kind of gut-busting laughter I expected from those.
Would you like to know what it looks like? Or no, we gotta play a game.
No, it's time to taxonomize this. I mean,
oh, that's
what,
right.
What are we here for?
I always forget the order of operations, the PEMDAS of it all, if you will.
The kingdom, phylum, class, order, family, genus, species. The King Philip.
Yeah.
It's chocolate, origami, friends. Great.
Good soup.
Good soup. I was going to say great sarsaparilla, but whatever.
Yeah, okay. Let's taxonomize this. They are in the kingdom you know, love, and are in the kingdom Animalia. They are in the phylum you know, love, and are in the kingdom, the phylum Chordata. They're in the class that you're not in. Sorry about it. Actinopterygii. Fish.
Yep. Bony fish. Not cartilaginous fish. So sharks
Napoleon.
Don't fall into
this. Bony fish. the order is Carangiformes. Mm-hmm. Form of a Carange.
Weirdest the Power Ranger ever.
A Kennedy.
Robert F. A Kennedy.
A Kennedy. Yeah. A Kennedy. It's Forrest Gump.
He's one of the Kennedys. I'm getting the vapors.
The genus is Echinus. And the species is Naucrates. Echinus Naucrates. Yeah. Naucrates.
Naucrates. Naucrates. Yeah. Beethoven and Socrates. I just realized that
now should we play again?
King Philip's chocolate origami friends gulp soup. That's a pretty good mnemonic device for taxonomy.
Not for the friends, because I can't think of anything more delicate to heat the heat of soup than a chocolate origami.
Well, I mean, it's like a cold soup. I can't think
it's
of one.
It's a gazpacho?
Maybe like cold soup like Honey Nut Cheerios.
Gazpacho.
Is gazpacho cold? I've never had gazpacho. Yes. So
yeah, it's like a chilled tomato soup with cucumbers. Sounds disgusting, nice. Doesn't it?
It sounds perfect for chocolate origami friends is what I'm saying. it's Echinus Naucrates, which, since we're in the business of naming things, it's time for my favorite part of the show, nitty-gritty nomenclature. The part of the show where I ask you, Joe, a question, and that question is the same some of the time, because sometimes we play other games. What is the English translation for the binomial nomenclature, which is Echinus Naucrates? Does it mean equal ocean traveler, A, B, scaled swimmer, C, ruling ship holder, or D, strong-heeled wave?
The ship holder one. Final answer.
Ding, 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 you're correct.
Nice. I was thinking about Nautilus.
Yeah, I was hoping the ocean something wave would throw you off with the naughty part.
the first two were like blacked out from my mind as soon as you finished, and rather than like have you repeat them, I just said one of the ones I remembered. So no, I remembered the second two, and they both had nautical things in them.
I'll remember that you will completely tune out A and B. And I'll just put the answer in there next time.
Just put it always in A
and B. No, it's got to be B all the time, because A, that can have a lasting impression. And then the last two can have a lasting impression. B and C, that's a good place to hide it.
B is like where you forget everything.
Because you're thinking about A, and you're not prepared to have another one thrown at you. I just need to do these fast.
That's true. If A is really good, you're thinking about that. And if A is really bad, you've zoned out.
Or I should make A so bad it's funny, and then you just can't think about anything else, and then I will win. Yes, it's ruling ship holder. Krates is like a ruler or a chief. The NAU now, that comes from like that's nautilus or nautical. That is both in the first three letters of the species and in the last four letters of the genus. So it's double ship. That's what it means. So
species spicy meatball.
It's like bison. But yeah, ruling ship holder.
Martha. All right. Well, now would you like to know what it looks like?
Sure, yes, we're there.
Its body is elongated and streamlined, you know, like a fish. It has a stark underbite with a lower jaw that projects forward beyond the upper jaw. That is what an underbite is.
As an underbite, and let me define an underbite for you. It is all of the Futurama characters.
The jaws, Vilmer, and tongue have villiform teeth. So some of those words, I don't know.
I understood Vilmer Simpson.
Vilmer is like a bone in the skull. Humans have one, and it's like a it's an asymmetrical bone. Like, it's not on both sides. I don't know. You could look it up on humans. I don't know what it is on this. But villiform teeth, like that, another thing. I don't exactly know what it means, but
evil teeth.
If you look it up, it's like little needles, yeah.
They do look evil.
Little, like several rows of needles.
Somebody looked at these teeth in particular and said, this guy looks like a villain. This is villiform. in form of villain. Cast the evil out.
The most recognizable feature is the oval-shaped suction disc, which is an adapted dorsal. That is which is a fin positioned on the top upper part of the body.
It's the shark fin, the famous shark fin.
The front of the head. Yeah. The building with the shark fin stuck in the roof.
I was there yesterday.
Really?
Yes.
I didn't know that was still there. Island Water Sports?
Yeah, it's still there. It still has a shark stuck in the roof.
Sweet. The body background coloration is dark gray to dark brown with a dark belly. It's all dark except for a dark stripe that runs along the body's axis. Oh, wait, we're still dark. But wait a minute, one more thing. There's a whitish margin around that dark stripe.
It's a lot of dark.
Yeah. The caudal fin is black with white corners. So that brings me to the last part of its description, which is its relative size. So welcome to the Love Measure Up segment, the official listener's favorite part of the show, the part of the show when we present the animal size and dimensions in relatable terms through a quiz that's fun for the whole family. It's also part of the show that's introduced by you when you send an audio of yourself saying, singing, or chittering the words measure up into ldtaxonomy@gmail.com. We do have a new Measure Up intro. And by the we do, I mean we don't. So
why are you lying to me?
Hear from an animal, and Carlos has to guess what it is.
All right, bring it on.
Without further ado, the listener's favorite part of the show.
The sucker on your fin is healing nicely, Nora. Now let's see if you can use it to stick to something.
I hope it's working. I have to be able to stick to bigger fish.
That's a fish from...
They're super nice.
The north of England.
They're very British. It's clearly a kid's show. It's underwater. Uh-huh. I can say nothing else but Octonauts.
Her name's Nora. It is Octonauts.
Octonauts. That's right. Super nice British animals underwater. That's...
I should quiz you on more like television for very young children, because you might know that might be your wheelhouse now.
Yeah, I mean, well, the thing is, like, a lot of the famous ones, like the pajama Paw Patrol and the what are they called, the PJ
bananas
Masks.
Bananas and pajamas.
Were bananas and pajamas. I would never show Mason bananas, at least not until he's like six, because that would traumatize him forever. He may never eat a banana again. Those other things are a little too action heavy for my sensitive little guy. So the nicer things are in the show, the more likely it is we've watched it. We've watched a couple episodes of Octonauts, but there was one episode where a walrus baby got separated from her parents and was like swept away at sea, and that was a little much, because then my kids were like, can we get separated from our parents? Because that's not okay. Didn't realize that could happen.
Maybe he needs to watch just Aliens to like reset. Reset his like expectations for horror. That'll be so scary. Anything by comparison will be easy.
So yeah, after after the year and a half of not sleeping ever, everything else will seem tame by comparison. So it's like ripping it off like a Band-Aid. We'll just let him
just like kind of permanent psychological damage. I think that would do.
Yeah. We'll just like okay. I know. I understand. How you feel about Swiper the Fox, but in order for us to move past this, I'm gonna need you to watch this little movie called The Human Centipede, and then you tell me what you think of Swiper the Fox after that, bud.
Swiper the Fox is okay.
No,
he's a criminal.
I told you he is successful.
I'm saying that's what Mason would say.
Oh yeah, he's
that's what he would say.
He needs to be reformed is what he needs.
Yeah. Well, let's have some compassion for Swiper.
Yeah. No.
We don't know where he grew up. A fatherless home, no doubt.
And another harmful fox stereotype, if ever I've seen one.
The Snore of the Remora. Let's talk about their length. 10 times 10 plus 10.
110?
110 centimeters. I'm getting your math brain warmed up. Oh, they're 43 inches. So how many remoras go into the length of the longest broom?
Sorry, I gotta get my math brain out of the microwave because I was warming it up.
Here's a hint. The longest broom was made in the Netherlands in 2006, but members of the Kria team, by members of the Kria team 2006.
Their gains. Got so much gains.
I have no idea what that word means. I don't know what the Kria team is.
All I know is that they're very strong. They're very powerful. A very powerful team.
It's a Netherlands team. So, like, do they know it sounds like Kria team? Or is it another word? In Netherland-ish.
Netherland. yeah. Second squat to the right, straight on till gains.
It is funny to call it Netherland.
There's only one land, right? How many lands are we talking about? I mean, the other word for it is Holland. So there's only one there.
The Netherlands does sound like a bad place in a fantasy.
Yeah, like the Netherworld.
I think it's because it's like, isn't it like a series of levees that's like taking the ocean off the land to get more land? So it's like,
that is a good question. I do not know.
It's Netherlands. Yeah, the little Dutch boy with his thumb in the dam. You know?
Jack Horner?
No. You don't know anything about the Netherlands.
I do know nothing about the Netherlands. I know that their flag is orange and they still have a king, and that's it.
I didn't know those facts, so maybe together we can know a thing or two about the
Netherlands. Maybe together we can sound mildly intelligent about this small European country. all right. Tallest broom. Europeans made it. Doesn't help. 100 feet.
Final answer?
No, because I have to find out how many of these wiggly boys go into it.
They're 43 inches.
28 Fish. 28 slimy sucker boys go into the length of this broom.
Is that your final answer?
That is my final answer.
The correct answer is 29.8.
Yeah.
The largest broom was... Yeah. See, like all of a sudden, I've gotten stuffy.
The you sound like you're about to sing a Green Day song. The answer is 29.8. Yeah, yeah. Do you have the time?
Just ruminate on that. If I got any more stuffy, I would have gone full Bob Dylan. The largest broom was 32 meters or 107 feet.
I was so close. One way. That was a... I mean, I was... That's by far a nursing school victory, but so close to getting the nail on the head.
Getting the nail on the head.
Get it? You gotta get the nail. Take this hammer and get that nail.
Can I get that nail? All right, let's talk weight. They're 2 grams or 0.07 ounces. How many live shark suckers go into the largest sucker, also known as a lollipop?
How many ounces is this 3.5 foot fish?
Oh, that's right. Did we like... Yeah, that's...
I've got 5 pounds for this fish.
Okay. I can do that. 5 pounds? Yes, I think I looked up the, like, there's the juvenile stage weight. So it's like when they first squirt out of their little soft eggs. They're only a couple grams.
Yeah, like the fish you're describing is a shoestring. It's a 43 inches long, but it weighs like 0.01 ounces.
So how many live buildings of the shark stuck in the roof? Go into the largest shark sucker. How many of these fish go into a big lollipop? Here's a hint. See's Candies, as in S-E-E apostrophe S, candies, created the big candy that we're talking about today in the United States at the See's Candy Lollipop Factory in Burlingame, California. It's either Berlin Game or Burlingame. And they did this in 2012.
They named the city that in 2012.
Everyone thought the world was... when everyone was thinking the world was going to end, they were building a big old candy. And the stick is 11 feet and 10 inches long.
Yeah, the Mayans were 8 years off. Yeah. I'm going to say 200. I'm going to say this thing is 1,000 pounds. Because I don't want to do any more math, and I have nothing else to go off of. So, 200 fish. We're 5 pounds, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So, just imagine 200 fish balled up at the end of an 11-foot lollipop stick. And then that... It just looks like a Harley Quinn weapon. Just in this giant...
I was going to say, like a... Bloodborne DLC weapon.
It's just the fish hammer. Slap people with fish. It's Nineveh. It's Nineveh in the VeggieTales version. They're not sinners. They're just fish slappers.
It's a sin to do that.
Sure, depending on the fish.
It's a sin to assault your neighbor with fish.
Exodus 20.
Even on Friday. So how many you final answer?
Yeah, 200.
The correct answer is 1,400.
Oh boy.
Shark suckers. The lollipop was 3,176.5 kilograms or 7,003 pounds.
Yeesh. That is a heavy sucker.
It sure is.
A heavy lolly.
Like people that like 6 months after they fall for a fad diet, that is a heavy sucker.
That, I don't even think that needs to be workshopped. That was pretty good.
Here are some. Would you like to hear some fast facts before we get into the major fact?
Sure.
They are found in warm seas around the world in the Atlantic, in the Western Atlantic, ranging from Nova Scotia, Canada, through Bermuda and the Gulf of Mexico down to Uruguay. I'm not, you are. And in the Mediterranean Sea. They like shallow inshore brackish areas around coral reefs. And they inhabit depths ranging from 20 to 50 meters, approximately 66 to 160 feet, which corresponds to the location of the coral reefs. So they like to be around the coral reefs. Sightings of E. Nakrots. sounds like an author.
Sounds like my pen name. Yeah, I was going to say.
So these sightings have occurred near Long Island, New Jersey, and Massachusetts. Not Long Island, New Jersey, but Long Island, New Jersey, Massachusetts, and even all the way up the Hudson River. For particular reasons. Here, the diet, the remora's diet varies based on its maturity and situation. As a juvenile, it acts as a cleaner fish on reefs, feeding on small parasitic crustaceans such as copepods, copacabanas, isopods, and ostracods. Ostracods is certainly a made-up one. That's not real.
Yeah, what, are you going to ostracize the ostracods?
Yeah.
Ban them from the pod community?
Ostracods are fish that don't let the other reindeers play. It consumes crustaceans, squid, and small fish, parasitic crustaceans, and small food captured by filter as an adult. It can capture food by filtering water through its villiform teeth. So the villiform teeth, these needle-like rows of teeth, can act as like a pseudo-baleen.
Makes sense.
But that's all I got on that. Do you have any big facts?
I got a big fact. I've got a major one. We're calling it fluoride. So, like you said,
take it greasy.
Greasy money. So like you said, remoras have a unique dorsal fin. It doesn't look like a fin at all. It looks like a big, like it looks like the inside of a carved out avocado. It's like a.
Sometimes I feel like that.
So do you sometimes feel like a plastic bag? Yeah. It's like a shallow bowl with ribbed sides. And these ribs can be raised or lowered to open and close the spaces between the ribs and a surface to generate suction. So the remora has a reverse plunger stuck to its forehead like Larry Boy. But why is the question? Sure. Any sentence that ends with like Larry Boy needs to follow up with but why. The remora has a unique respiratory system, at least when it comes to fish. Fish in general need to have water flow over their gills in order to extract oxygen and fuel the respiratory system. So some fish have what's called active ventilation, and that's where they pump their gills in and out constantly to move water over those gills. So a lot of freshwater fish will do this when it just looks like the sides of their gills are just, looks like they're breathing. Because they are. What they're doing is just getting water moving over their gills. Others, like most sharks, have what's called ram ventilation, which is, that's cool. Ram. That allows them to, that requires them to move their bodies forward in order to have water flow over their gills. So they can't actively, like, move their gills to get through the water, they have to move. The water has to go over them, their gills. So they have to constantly be moving. That's why that whole adage where sharks need to keep moving or they die is true, because they will stop breathing if they stop moving. Which is, what a way to live. It's like that episode of Futurama where Bender had to dance forever or he blew everyone up. The Remora can do both active and ram ventilation. But both require energy. So you either need to expend energy constantly breathing in and out, or you need to expend even more energy constantly moving forward. But that's only unless you don't know how to swim smarter and not harder. So it uses its face plunger to attach itself to something that is already moving, doing all the work for you. It can just hitch a ride and switch to ram ventilation. So it can do active ventilation as, you know, a little guppy, or if it's not attached to anything, but it can just latch itself onto something that's on its way somewhere, and then suddenly it doesn't have to pump its gills anymore. And it also doesn't have to swim forward to get the water flowing over its gills. It can just switch to that ram, that good ram ventilation. This is making me think of REM sleep, and me wishing so much that I could have some. But yeah, switch to ram ventilation, and without actually having to go through the hassle of swimming, lazy bones. So what it'll do is it'll latch to sharks, to whales, to large fish, to rays, turtles, dugongs, dolphins, boats, and even scuba divers. This is a form of commensalism called foresy, which is like animals hitching a ride on other animals that doesn't detriment the host. Or at least doesn't significantly detriment the host. So, like, if you see a bird riding on, like, a hippo's back or something like that, that's this, even though the bird can fly. So the breathing problem is solved. You know, now it doesn't have to work to breathe. And it doesn't even hurt the sucker giving him the ride, outside of increasing drag, which can be a problem for animals like dolphins that really rely on their hydrodynamics to move quickly toward prey or away from predators. But how does it eat? How would a remora or shark sucker eat if it's stuck to a whale or a shark all day? And the answer is that it eats some of the dead skin. It eats some barnacles, crustaceans, other nuisances that are on the host that you might be dealing with. So the deal is kind of mutualistic, because it kind of keeps the body more or less free of parasites. But it mainly feeds on that animal's excrement. Yum, yum, yum.
Gross.
How does it do it while it's cruising along? No idea, because I imagine it's just kind of like a, you know, we release the junk before we go to hyperspace sort of situation. I'm just imagining maybe it darts out and grabs a quick bite of some solid BM and then like latches right back on. I don't know. Or maybe it's up near the head and then it grabs it and then latches on near the tail. Obviously doesn't work for boats and scuba divers, unless scuba divers are very right generous and don't have, if aren't very scuba exact, suits.
If you latch onto the exact right spot, it's like a mid-flight meal.
Yeah.
It'll come right to you.
Yeah. You just open up the hose. You're at a buffet. Yeah. Where you don't even need to use like a serving utensil. You just dip your hands right in. Researchers initially thought that it would eat the scraps from the host's prey. So like a shark would tear into a fish and then the remora would eat some of that fish, but or recent studies show that's not the case. It ignores that. But, I mean, it goes through the animal and comes out the other end and eats that. So it does eat the scraps. Just the undigested stuff. But, yeah, and The way that the sucker works is that it's kind of like a Chinese finger trap. The more you resist it, the harder it is to get off. So the way that it's shaped makes it so that the pressure pushing it back towards its tail, its caudal fin, that's what latches it on. If it wants to unlatch itself, it swims forward in relation to the animal. So the animal, if it tries to, you know, dart left and right or go faster to try to get it off, it's just going to make it latch on harder. It needs to do the opposite of what it thinks it needs to do in order to get the remora to come off, just like a Chinese finger trap. So, and fortunately for us, animals are not smart enough to figure out Chinese finger traps for now. Hmm. And that is all I got. So when you're seeing like pictures of sharks or whales, or you're watching a documentary and you see a bunch of long fish stuck to its fins or its back, that's a remora. A shark sucker is a kind of remora. So that's remora. Heard that song yesterday too, right next to the building with a shark stuck in the roof.
And did you go to an Italian restaurant?
There's Antonio's, I think is what it's called, right next to Bob's Pizza on Deerfield Beach. We were sitting at Flanagan's and we're listening to the live music, and they sing, "That's Amore," eel.
Wow.
It's like if you have an Italian restaurant and that's the song you sing. It's like, this is the only song we can sing. Like if I had a Scottish restaurant, it would literally be that one bagpipe song that's the national anthem of Scotland. That's literally the only thing that can be played here. And occasionally Amazing Grace, and that's it. Which is an English hymn. But anywho. Do you have anything else?
That's all I got.
All right, that was the live shark sucker. So for you out there in Podcastia, take the easy route through life. Find an oceanic ride and glue your head to the nearest shark so you can breathe and also eat its feces like the shark sucker here in Life, Death, and Taxonomy.
Hey Taxonomy Titans, I just want to remind you that we now have a Patreon. Patrons can see full video episodes and get shoutouts on the show. But ultimately, it's a way for you to help us cover some costs and get even better. Still, reviews are the best way to help us grow. So if you haven't left one yet, we'd really love to hear from you. As always, thanks for listening and engaging.
Favorite in the world podcast.
Shark sucker. Disgusting.